Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 173. It's the dating episode, and we're going to be talking to a friend of mine. She'll be telling us a little bit about what it's like to be an expat lady in the dating game in Colombia. We'll talk about some of the cultural nuances, some of the misconceptions of the Latin lover, and many more things. Of course, this is a family show, so don't expect it to get too dirty or too lujuria, as they would say in Spanish. But of course, this episode 173 is brought to you by Sitel Colombia. Sitel is looking for bilingual people with a visa here to work in Colombia, and they would like to see your resume. So check out their website, that's sitel.co, and the Facebook, Sitel Colombia, and send your resume, because they have jobs available for bilingual English and Spanish workers. But remember, you'll need a work visa. They will not get this for you. So that is that with Sitel Colombia. Now, episode 173, I'm with my friend Lorna. We've been talking off air, and now we're talking on air. We want to talk about the dating game, because basically we know the story, and I'm part of this. The only risk is wanting to stay. I'm one of these guys now married to a Colombian. A lot of men married to Colombian women, a lot of foreign men married to Colombian women, but we don't hear it much from the foreign woman in Colombia. We don't hear from that perspective, and I'd like to hear it from that perspective. I know foreign women here, and they're in relationships and so on, but let's talk a little bit about the nuances and the dating game in Colombia. So first and foremost, Lorna, welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you very much, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're most welcome. Now, how long have you been here in Colombia overall?
This year will be my 10th year here in Colombia.
Hey, snap. There we go. 10-year veteran. So, we've been here longer than most people.
Yeah,
let's say
so.
We're the old hand. Language teachers come and go, and NGOs come and go. But then there's the old, weary, jaded few that are here longer. No, of course, we love it. We love it. And that's the truth of it. But... We're on the show together today to talk about this. And I would say, let's start from the basic tenets of dating in Colombia from a woman's perspective. How do you go about meeting men? How would someone who is coming to Colombia for the first time, or is here now working or living, how would they sort of go about it socially, let's say, to start with meeting men? Is it different from in the UK or in the US, if you know? I mean, how would you recommend to people?
Well, I think the big difference in Colombia is the big cultural difference is here people do go out to dance together. So obviously, if you do specifically want to meet somebody and have that intimate contact with them straight away, which obviously you will if you're going to dance with them, because salsa, vallenato, merengue, they're all very physical dances. So that would be the big difference, is that culturally here, people do go out to dance and men dance with women. So, I mean, my advice would be, if you are a woman and you're coming to Colombia, at least learn to dance, because you can meet people, I mean, in a friendship as well, not just obviously as a potential partner. So obviously that's the difference. But other than that, I mean, obviously working, I mean, if you are teaching language here, you get to meet a lot of people through students. You know, I met here when I first came to Colombia 10 years ago, and I was teaching English at that time. I mean, I probably met 500, 600 different people in the space of 2 years just through teaching English, then getting recommendations to teach English to the next person, Then you get invited to go to their parties or their, you know, gatherings. So, I mean, teaching and working are other ways, obviously. And then the more people you meet, the more people you get to meet. And I think those are the main ways, which maybe is similar in some ways to the US and the UK. But I think if you are a foreigner here, those are the obvious differences is you know, culturally, the dancing. I mean, the dancing and the very physical part of socializing that you do. And if you go to a wedding, a party, you know, baptism, a work party, you're expected to dance. I mean, in my work now, if there's a Christmas party, it's like, everybody get up, we're all going to dance. And that's the way it is. And it's not just dancing in a circle, like staggering around. I mean, you dance with somebody.
It's not stuff getting loaded on 15 pints and falling across the dance floor.
No, it's dancing.
So. Okay, proper dancing, proper in partners, proper, okay. But then tell me about this. This is interesting because truth be told, I'm now a dance phobe because back in England, I wasn't a bad dancer. But in Colombia, I'm just dreadful. I mean, that's the truth, and that's the truth. So I get a little bit, I'm pretty self-conscious now, and I get up and, being an old man, I can claim my knee problems and whatever. But I get a bit self-conscious up there because really, everyone is so good at dancing. Even children are born dancing.
Maybe. I mean, I think you do, but you do see a difference in Bogota. I've traveled all over Colombia and I've danced all over different parts of Colombia in various different occasions. But in Bogota, I think people they're not as
good.
It's not as, let's say, for example, if you go and work in Cali and you go out and dance in Cali, you know, it's kind of intimidating. But in Bogota, I think if you can count, because obviously in the salsa, but if you can count up to seven, and you've got some sort of hip movement, I think you're okay. You know, so I think it's all right. And I think as well, if you're a foreign person, and especially if you're a foreign man, women like to see a foreign man dance badly.
Okay.
I think it represents that sort of challenge for them. And I think
so that's where I've been going right.
So you've done well. And I think if you're a foreign woman, I mean, I could dance before I came to Colombia. So I mean, I danced salsa before, so I had some idea of what I was doing. But I think, again, I don't think you should be... I think Colombian people like to see you have a go. And I think it's more because it's such a... It is such a friendly, embracing culture that if you have a go, people like it. And I don't think anyone's going to fall about laughing, you know, if you get it wrong. And I think most men, if you're a woman, feel that they can hold you a bit closer and, you know, try and steer you a little bit more if you're not so good. So I don't think that should be such a, you know, an intimidating thing. It's more off-putting for a man if you sit there and say, oh, I don't want to dance.
Sure.
And, you know, that's more, in this culture, it's far more acceptable to take part and do it badly.
Oh, of course. I think that probably is the same as well with making an effort in Spanish.
Yeah.
Of course, people love it when you make an effort.
Exactly.
So interesting. That's a nice intro into this. And okay, so you say sort of work, and you say through your work, through dancing, through things like that. And the online dating scene, of course, has taken off here in Colombia.
Yes.
We will let's delve into that at a later moment. But these seem to be the key places. I'm sure there are all sorts of English speaking groups or sort of language exchanges where one could meet. But let's not get into those and be essentially a list of places where to meet people. Let's talk about some of the culture really around these things. And for someone like you, what have you found to be over the 10 years to some of the cultural differences to perhaps dating a Colombian or a Latin man?
I think that Colombian men here, and I don't want to obviously stereotype a whole nation. And when I speak about these things, I have many Colombian friends who I like very much, who are wonderful, wonderful people. And, you know, but as a generalization, a lot of the Colombian men that I've dated which perhaps doesn't sound too good, but a lot of the Colombian men that I've dated.
Some of the Colombian men that you've dated, let's say that.
A selection of the Colombian men that I've dated. Get intimidated by a strong woman. Get intimidated by... if you're a strong, successful woman, which I am, I don't feel bad about saying that, but I am. But a lot of men like to feel that they're needed in some way. And I think being needed and being wanted, that the vision, that blurs a lot for men here. So, for example, if I say, I want to be with you, it's not the same as saying I need you. But here, it's not perceived that they're two separate things. So I think for me, if I've dated a man and I've, you know, maybe I've paid, I've said, okay, so, you know, you don't have any money, let's go to a nice restaurant. Or, okay, so, you know, let's do something really nice and it's my treat. Or, you know, I don't need... I think it's the feeling of being needed. Do you know what I mean? I think it's more the feel that it's... I think a lot of Colombian men need to feel that they are the leader and they are the strong...
Provider.
Yeah, the provider in any sort of relationship. Uh-huh. And I think when it emerges that you're a woman that wants to be with the said person but doesn't need them for anything other than anything... practical, then I think that is difficult.
Threatening, perhaps.
Yeah, I think maybe so.
Interesting, that desire to be needed. That's an interesting one. Does that come from an insecurity, do you think?
I think it does. I think it's a cultural thing, and I think it does, because I think if you don't feel valued, I think it goes to the whole thing of, you know, how do you feel valued as a person? And if you feel that you're not providing for the person you want to be with in a practical way, you lose some self-worth. And I don't think that shouldn't be the case, because it's not that you need somebody to actually, you know, give you money, give you food, give you things. But I think here that's perceived that if you're not giving those things, you don't have any self-worth. I understand.
It's putting a value on this situation. I think it's very interesting. I think it's different. This, would we say that? I wouldn't say that. I would assume there are English men, for example, who need to be needed, a kind of needy English man or something, but not as a cultural, let's say, I don't want to say stereotype, but we're kind of saying that culturally a lot of Colombian men, Latin men might want to feel needed. But then that sort of brings in the desire for the chase as well, I think, doesn't it? It's like maybe you don't communicate as fast, maybe you don't message as quickly, maybe you play a bit more hard to get. Does that come into the same sort of let's say breath?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I mean, just I just actually remembered something about the thing we just talked about being needed, which was, I mean, I dated a guy once here who actually said to me, we're the same age, we're the same demographic of person. He said to me, but you're successful, you're doing these things, this is your job, this is what you do. And I'm just, you know, a poor... And he obviously mentioned his job, which I'm not going to mention now. And, you know, I don't feel that I can be with you because of that. Because I don't feel, you know, I don't feel I'd be giving you anything. I mean, he said that to me, and I thought, well, that's a bit strange. But, I mean, it's for me, you know, those, and I think for many people, those things really aren't important. But that was a perception. But as far as the chase goes, yeah, I mean... a friend said to me when I first came to Colombia, if you want to date Colombian men successfully, it's very important that you don't call them back, that you don't message, that you let them chase you. Because if you don't let them chase you, they don't feel like they're gaining a prize, and you have to be that prize. And this is my friend said that to me. She's a Colombian. She's a, you know, a lady who's, you know, spent many, many years in of her life living here. She also lived abroad, so she has, you know, a perspective of both cultures. And yeah, she said that to me. And I found that to be the case as well, that, you know, I think when I lived in Britain, if I dated a guy and the next day texted to say, oh, we had a great night, thank you, I really enjoyed it, mm-hmm. I don't think that anything more is thought of that. I don't think that's perceived to be a bad thing. But I think here, from experience, if the next day you say, oh, I had a great time, thank you so much, you can feel like the withdrawal to a certain extent.
Really?
And it's quite...
like they've already had the cake and eaten it.
Well, I mean, even if they hadn't had the cake and eaten it,
okay.
Even if there was no cake, it's, you know, it's a noticeable thing. Men like to be the pursuers, and they like to feel that they're gaining a prize, and they like to feel that they're working for a prize. So for me, that would be my observation of that point.
Well, on that note, that's very interesting indeed. Of course, you are a prize. On that note, we'll take a short break and come back with Lorna and talk further about the sort of cultural nuances of dating in Colombia. I think it's been eye-opening for me so far, because it's not something I've ever really thought about here at all, but we're putting it into a different perspective, another person in the driving seat here. So this is episode 173 of Colombia Calling, brought to you by Citadel Colombia. If you're looking for work, you're bilingual and based here in Bogota, there is work available. Just check out their Facebook page. We'll be right back after this short break, and please stay tuned, because we have more tales and nuances and cultural differences and perhaps some misconceptions about the dating game in Colombia. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. This is episode 173. And we're talking to Lorna here in Bogota, Colombia. And we're talking about, let's say, the women's perspective, the dating game here in Colombia. And it is really fascinating to hear this. I've never really thought, I guess I'm just an old conservative prude. I don't know any of this stuff. And really, I don't pay that much attention to it. But actually, it's really interesting and really important. And for those people thinking perhaps of coming to Colombia, or those in Colombia and wondering why they haven't found the one, maybe this could be, let's say, a roadmap for some of you out there. But so let's say, we were talking about this, the desire to be needed by Colombian men. And of course, it's not all Colombian men, but I think there are some other things in there too. Let's not generalize over a whole nation, but from what I've seen or heard in a lot of families, the son, of course, but the son is really highly valued and quite. Is the word mollycoddled?
Yeah,
is that the word I should use?
Yes.
In the family, if the son is the number one and he's the varón and very, very looked after by his mother. Now, that must affect relationships. That must affect. Because I'll only interject here before you can talk and say, when I had to do I had to do the marriage course to marry a Catholic here, and there must have been about 200 couples in that big hall when we were there doing the marriage course.
Really? Wow.
It was the only weekend I think this one place gave it, and it was cheap. Because you have to pay, because the Catholic Church doesn't have any money. Has plenty of money. And we had the marriage course, and the guy stood up and he said to all of the men, he addressed all of the men and said, remember, your wife or your future wife is marrying you, not your mother. And I thought that was quite telling, that there was actually said in a marriage course that it's kind of known that the poor woman's future mother-in-law is already going to be overbearing in a relationship. And from what I have seen so far, I have seen nothing to make me think otherwise. So I don't know. You're not married, but would you say that there's quite a lot of sort of being mummy's boys, Colombian men?
I think I don't think it's an incorrect conception.
You're being very careful, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, out of the relationships that I've had with Colombian men, and we are talking over 10 years, so it's not...
it's one or two.
Yes, it's a couple. But, I mean, I think that the mother plays a part in this process, and it can be complicated. I mean, I can give you a kind of anecdote, and it's a guy that I dated who I'm still very good friends with, and I'm still very good friends with his family. And they always actually quite liked me. Maybe it's because I'm foreign, maybe it's... And that's another strange conception, which is perhaps another point. But, I mean, I always had quite a good relationship with the family. Mm-hmm. But with my ex and his sister, every single person they've dated since have always had problems with the mother. Every single one. And we're talking over a period of 10 years. Wow. And they are in their late 30s.
Yeah.
So
these are adults.
Yeah, they're adults, and I think that's another big difference here is that, I mean, they are still or were still until very recently living still with the mother, and I mean, in England, for example, the generality is that you leave home between 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, maybe a little bit in your early 20s, but generally you leave home, make your own life, and then at some point when you meet somebody, you take that person home and introduce them to your parents. Mm-hmm. Here, people live with their parents sometimes well into their 30s, and out of the two relates like more serious relationships I've had here, both of those guys did live with their families until well into their 30s. So by that time, obviously, they have like a really integrated part in their sort of adult development, which I don't think you have the same thing in the UK. So when you meet somebody, I suppose, when you're 34 and you're still living at home, obviously, you don't get the freedom in the relationship that you would get if you weren't living at home in various mm-hmm. ways. But also the mother... And even, I suppose, the father to an extent, but the mother especially, is there from the very, very outset of the relationship. And that can be problematic because, yeah, you have then the opinions, the guidance, and the expectation. Mm. And I don't know, for me, as a foreign woman, maybe I got off slightly easier in that respect because, obviously, you can put... to a certain extent, some excuses that you want to give in that situation down to cultural differences. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, sort of some examples for some events maybe that you don't want to go to, you can put a cultural slant on that and maybe, you know...
I get out of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get out of things to a general extent. So maybe that's a good thing for being a foreign person. But no, definitely that the family here plays a big part in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Most people here are very close to their families. And even if they don't have a good relationship with their families, they're still very close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just mothers. I had a boyfriend here for a year. And, his immediate family, his mother wasn't alive anymore, but his father... was, but all of the extended family out of like, I think there were like 10, 15 uncles, aunts, cousins, second cousins, cousins' children, and you have to have a relationship with all of those as well. Mm. And that's quite exhausting.
That's a lot of birthday parties.
It's a birthday party, and then it's an expectation because it's like, okay, so on Saturday, and it's not, I mean, in England, usually it's like, we've been invited to a wedding, would you like to go?
Yeah.
It's not like that here. It's like, okay, next Saturday, it's going to be my second cousin's sister's 15th birthday party. It's at 7 o'clock. We're going. And you go, and I mean, I've been to these things, and you'll meet a room of 350 people.
They're all family.
All family, and it's all family. And you have to dance with every single member of the family. And these parties start at, let's say, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and they go to 5, 6 the next morning. Everybody is completely drunk with aguardiente, with whatever. The music sometimes is so loud that it's distorted.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun. So, I mean, I've been to parties like that where there's been water running down the walls because there's so much humidity from people sweating. And, I mean, that's quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
There's a lot of fun to be had at these parties too. I mean, this is the truth. But also, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
But you have to be prepared, I think. You can't go... I mean, the first family party I ever went to here for an ex-boyfriend, and I went thinking, okay, so we're going at 9. I've got to work tomorrow, and I was working the next day, so I was thinking I'm going to have to be up at 7. Yeah. So I'll probably have to leave like 11:30 so I can get some sleep. And when I tried to leave at 11:30, it was a huge issue.
It basically blocked the door.
Yeah. So you have to go and be prepared.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I get to pull out the top Trump foreigner card in a lot of these things. So I turn up to about one in every four or five events.
But I think, again, that's the difference between being a man and a woman here. Because I think so. As a man, it is easier to say that. And people say, oh, he's a grumpy English man. It's okay.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and that's okay. and you're married. So yes. Now it's okay.
Yes.
If you're a woman and you're in that situation, it isn't as acceptable.
So we are saying then there's this duplicitous level, nature to things, but the obvious difference between man and woman here.
Yes, there is.
And so, let's draw into that on a different level. I mean, a man. Oh, this is an argument or a discussion that's brought up on shows and in articles and everything all the time. But a man goes out with many women, he's Casanova, and if a woman goes out with many men, she's a streetwalker, basically. Uh-huh. And I guess it's the same here, right? It's the same kind of attitude towards women.
I would say more.
Or do you get
so.
More leeway as a foreign woman, maybe?
If I was a foreign woman, Richard, in that position, I mean, to be completely open about those things. No, I think more so here. If you're a man here, it's, in some ways, I think it's expected that you will go out with a range of people. Uh-huh. And it's I don't know if expected's the wrong word. I think it's, I think if you're in a relationship with a Colombian man and they're not faithful, you shouldn't be surprised.
Accepted's the word.
Yeah. But I think if you're a woman in that situation, no, it's highly unacceptable. And I think, you know, sometimes to a very dramatic, in a very dramatic way, that if you're a man and a Colombian man and your wife's cheating on you, I mean, it's a, you know,
it's the phrase, cachón.
Yeah.
Cachón.
It's you know, it's a horrific thing to do, and I think if you're a single man here and you're like a Casanova, no, it's I think it's fine, and I think it's a perfectly acceptable thing. If you are a woman here, then and you are dating a range of men, let's say
a selection of
men, then no, it's not socially acceptable. If you're a foreign woman, myself, I mean, I've been here a long time and I've dated a selection of men. For me, I don't know if it's social. It's not something that, you know, I think your private life, if you keep it private, it's easier to get through those things. It's not something that you would go through the streets shouting about, I think.
Of course.
I think people like to hear entertaining stories of these situations, but of hombrecitos, let's say. But
I'm not asking you to divulge.
No, but yeah, I do think you know that's a very distinct difference here. Is that it's acceptable for men to be like that? I mean, I've dated men here who have had a partner. You know, I dated a guy here once for several months. And I found it very strange that we'd only meet in certain times in certain situations, and you know, we can meet on a Thursday night or a Saturday morning, or and his job, which I'm not going to say what it was, but his job did lend him to work on sociable hours. So at that point, I thought, well, maybe it's normal. But then I discovered after maybe 5 months that he had got a girlfriend. Uh-huh. And obviously, I didn't see him again because, you know, it's for me, that's not acceptable. And he, some months later, contacted me to say, he didn't know at the time when I stopped seeing him that I knew he had a girlfriend. I just stopped it. But a few months later, he contacted me and he said, by the way, I did have a a girlfriend? And I said, yes, I know. And he said, oh, but how did you know? Well, it's, I mean, because I'm not stupid. I mean, it was kind of obvious. And, you know, with social media as it is and those things, and we were friends in some social media sources. I saw a photo of him and I thought, that's strange. And through that, I worked it out. But that for him wasn't, you know, it wasn't a surprising thing. I mean, I'd been to events with some of his friends had been there, you know? So, I mean, I knew some of his friends. It wasn't as though it was like, oh, we have to be very discreet because I'm with somebody, you know? Yeah. I'd met some of his friends, we'd been out publicly, and yet, yes, he had a girlfriend. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know, you know, I remain speechless on things like this. But you've touched on something that I wanted to draw the conversation round to, and I think is very important at this in this day and age in social media. And of course, there is the whole internet dating game. And then, of course, there's just so much more. You're so much more connected. It's so easy to be in a conversation with someone, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, the internet dating and then let's say messaging people, has that different, or how has that changed? I don't know what I'm getting at particularly, because for me, I guess people overseas have the idea of the Latino man being all passionate, and I get this sort of, I know he's Spanish and everything, but this sort of Antonio Banderas type, swarthy Latin guy is going to sweep you off your feet, your bed will be littered in rose petals, and he'll dance the night away. But surely that must have been killed somewhat by WhatsApp and internet messaging, where perhaps people aren't as descriptive or as Byronically poetic. I don't know. Let's just say in these circumstances of dating, are people more suggestive on social media, or is it? How would you say that things are going?
I would say that if I had 100 pesos, 100 Colombian pesos, for every photo of a man's intimate parts that I've been sent through unfortunate channels of those things, because I tried internet dating for a time. If I had 100 pesos for one of those things, I would be able to buy a ticket for a round trip around South America
explore. That's a lot of intimate parts.
Yes, because, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, this perception of the romantic Latin man. And I think, you know, many men here are very expressive when you meet people in person, obviously, you know. But the thing that internet dating takes away is that those kind of romantic nuances that one would hope for when striking up a relationship with somebody. And, you know, I mean, I've had conversations. It takes out the sort of the beauty of the, you know, the meeting process, the getting to know somebody, the beauty of seduction. It takes all those things, because basically you can have, you know, hello, how are you? Do you want to come over to my place? I have wine. And then a photo of somebody's trouser regions. Yeah. I mean, and that's, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. You have that. I mean, obviously, there's very, very, very nice people as well. And I've met people through internet dating who've become to be very good friends, and you know, who I've had you know, conversations about these things with. I'm not generalizing for everybody, but it gives a validation for that kind of man. Of, you know, hello, my name's Antonio. you know, what are you looking for? I'm just looking for sex. And that's, you know, you have that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as I say, you have a range of photos, and that's it. And then they expect that you're going to say, my God, I really want to meet you now. You know, I mean, in what other situation do you see somebody naked before you actually meet them in real life? You know, you wouldn't walk around the street. I wouldn't walk into a bar on a Friday night
and flash them.
Or with a photo of myself, like, hey, my name's Lorna, here's a photo of my breasts. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But in internet dating world, it gives validation for that, you know. Yeah. And it's like, as I said, hello, my name's Antonio, here's a photo of me.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a photo of my face looking, you know. The first time it ever happened to me, actually, internet dating, it was like that. It was I don't know, it might have been called Fabio or something like that. I've never spoken to him again. He wrote to me and he said, oh, hello, I don't know if he was a photographer or something. He sounded interesting. Hello, I'm a photographer. And I said, oh, that's cool. That really interests me. And I thought we were having, at that naive point in life, I thought we were having like a nice conversation. He said, do you want me to send you some photos? And I said, yes, that would be great. Thinking naively and completely naively, he was going to send me photos of his work. Mm-hmm. And he sent me like a range of like you know, you can have burst on an iPhone, where it's like a range of photos and it's like when you run them together, it's like a slow motion film. I think it's burst. It was a burst. And it was that, of various stages of undress. And then followed by a video at the end, of which I'm not going to describe. But it was that, and we never met. And at that point, I said, I think we're looking for different things. And we didn't speak again. But, I mean, that's an example, you know?
But so it's taking away the butterflies in the stomach. It's actually making you nauseous.
Yes, it's kind of butterflies of a different sort.
So, let's say moths.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad. But I would say that's quite obviously clearly not unique to Colombia. We've had what's his name, Wiener in New York, the appropriate name, Wiener in New York, the councillor, wasn't he? And of course, here in Colombia too, it was the ombudsman, wasn't it? The national ombudsman who was accosting his secretary or assistant with photographs. And then, of course, but what I hated was the way he just put it down to the base thing, is that, well, I'd fallen in love. And so that was acceptable.
That's all right, then.
It's acceptable, of course, But that's damaging to the whole sort of phraseology and terminology of something like this. And this is tough. This has got to be tough to deal with this. And so we're saying, I'm sure, of course, there is online dating, but of course, as always, with care. And a lot of times you can't filter it, though.
No, and I think as well, you know, there is such a romantic, like a historical romantic image of Latin American men, as you say, the Antonio Banderas and these kind of guys who, you know, it's a very romantic culture. And it is a very romantic culture. I mean, the literature, the music, it's all very passionate. And unfortunately, internet dating's taken away some of that because it's far more disposable. You know, it's far easier to say, okay, do I like you? Yeah, you're okay. You're quite attractive. But maybe there's the next swipe right, you know, swipe left.
Right.
Yeah, and then swipe left for the next one. It's much more. So I think the difference here, you know, and if we look at, let's say, the UK or the US, and those cultures aren't notoriously romantic cultures. Do you know what I mean? And our culture, our British culture, isn't like that. But here it is. You know, we have that passion. We have that, you know, that sort of, I don't know, sort of hot, romantic, beautiful, seductive atmosphere. Historically, that's what you expect when you read a Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel. That's what you expect. And things like, I don't know, internet dating sites don't really give...
Don't capture that.
Yeah, they don't capture that. It's quite sad.
That said, a little bird told me... That's what they say, un pajarito. A little bird told me that you sat through a date where the gentleman was singing the whole way through it. Surely that's just his Latin culture coming out. Yeah. Well, how do you respond to that?
Well, you say that, Richard, but it wasn't quite like that.
I mean, okay.
It wasn't a serenade. It was more of like
singing to himself.
Yeah, it was more of like an annoying, sort of quite worrying condition.
So it's kind of like a whine in the background.
Yeah, it was like, you know, the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. It was like something from that more than something.
We expected Nurse Ratched to come out.
Yeah, I mean, we went on a date. This guy was from the coast, and he. I don't know. I mean, I had quite high expectations because he was very nice and he was very attractive. And I thought this could be quite a nice date. And so we went out and from the start, I thought at the start it might be nerves, but it wasn't. And we conversed, and as we were conversing, he'd just like break into song, but not song like he was serenading me. It was just like the back part of like a Beyonce track, do you know what I mean? It was like, he was like backing himself with Beyonce whilst talking, so if you get what I mean. So he was like background singing whilst trying to be seductive, and it really didn't work.
With a mouthful of food?
No, it was beer.
Okay, beer, fair enough.
It wasn't that romantic. It wasn't, if we hadn't got to the restaurant stage. No, it was beer. And and it just got to the stage where, I couldn't look at him while we were talking because it was annoying me so much that I thought, I don't know what to do. So I suggested to go home, and he thought that meant to go home with me.
Oh, God.
And he was like, shall we take a taxi? And I said, yes, I'm going to get a taxi now. And he was like, do you want to come to my place or shall I come to yours? And I was like, no, you go to your place and I'm going to go to mine. And then I said, thank you very much. It was very nice. And went home. And then 2 days later, he called me and he was like, So I'm still free to come to your house. And I said, well, not at the moment. No. And he's like, but I want to come to your house and do crazy things too. That's what he said. I want to come do crazy things. I'm quite busy. But thank you. I don't know. There's not really a polite way to edge out of that situation. I said, well, it's very nice. Thank you very much. But I'm a bit busy tonight. Let's keep in touch. And we didn't really keep in touch after that. I mean, I don't, occasionally he still messages me now, but not
just in the odd hope.
Yes.
But I imagine he's, with all due respect to you, and as we wind down this, I think that kind of approach is very much the cluster bomb approach. Is send out as many bombs as you can, and whichever one hits is a success story.
Yeah.
He's not laser sighting on that one.
No, I don't think so. Well, I hope for him, not. let's hope not.
I want two crazy things. Yeah, well, there's poetry in motion. As they say, romance is not dead in the 21st century. It's been fascinating, Lorna, to talk about this. And it really has been a cultural show, this one, because we've been talking about really human behavior and relationships, and not just about Colombia, I think internationally too. I'm sure we'll get a good feedback from this show, so we'll get you and maybe some other friends on to have a very comical show about dating. Maybe we can have you all sitting around the mic and sharing anecdotes.
Sharing horrific anecdotes.
Well, we could horrific and good ones, because I know that some of your friends have married Colombian men, so there have to be good stories too. But we weren't all talking negative. We were just discussing these things and maybe what to expect if you're coming out. So anyway, but listen, thank you so much for being on the show and speaking so openly about really the dating game in Colombia and some of the cultural practices and perhaps things that we wouldn't be aware of are coming from overseas. We know that you do marry into a family, but sometimes you don't know how far into a family you have to marry. And in Colombia, that could be 38 brothers and sisters. That's the truth of it. So thank you for this. It's been really great. I hope to have you on in the future.
Thank you so much, Rich. It's been a pleasure.
You've been most welcome. So I hope you've enjoyed this show. And so we'll be back next week. And I've got someone lined up for next week who will be talking about moving back to Colombia after her parents fled the country. And now she's coming back because she's making a new start here and trying to find out this new Colombia and how things have changed. So a very positive story, that one. But this has been episode 173. We've been talking to Lorna. We've been talking about the dating game here in Colombia. And of course, this episode has been brought to you by Sitel Colombia. Sitel, which is a large call center in the north of Bogota. They have jobs available for bilingual people of any age of truth, English and Spanish. If you have a work visa and you're legal to work here in Colombia and looking for a job, send your resume to Sitel Colombia with employment opportunities in the subject line, or check out their Facebook page, Sitel Colombia, and there are work opportunities listed there. This has been Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. Thank you for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.